The grace and love of our Lord and Savior be with us always. Amen. The Word of God we want to consider today is our Old Testament reading for this past Sunday, which was Reformation Sunday. We're looking at Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 to 34. The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. My dear friends in Christ, the book of Jeremiah is a book that consists a lot of denunciations or condemnations against the nation of Judah, and against other select nations and individuals who committed and then continued to commit their sins of rebellion against God, because God directed him to do so. What Jeremiah had to do is he had to tell the Jews that what would happen because of their sin and their rebellion against God is that they would end up being conquered by the Babylonians, that they would be carried off into a 70-year exile in Babylon. Well, it was that tough part of the book. But then in and around our reading, what Jeremiah does is he writes on a positive note. He talks about when Judah would be freed from that Babylonian exile and be allowed to return to the promised land. However, there's another meaning behind that being freed from exile that is referred to here. And that's the freedom that all believers have because Christ died to free us from the slavery of sin, from the captivity of sin. The Lord said, "The time is coming when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." The Jews may have thought that God had totally rejected and abandoned them because of their sin and rebellion against God, that he would abandon his promise, his plan to send the Savior into the world. Well, to calm such troubled thoughts and to give hope and comfort to Judah's faithful, a remnant, a small number in the land, God informs them that he's going to establish a new covenant with them. God describes that new covenant. He says, "It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them." The old covenant, of course, refers to the Sinaitic covenant, which God made with the nation of Israel shortly after he freed them from their slavery in Egypt. The old covenant, or promise, that's what covenant means, it contained many laws, rules and regulations, ceremonies, that were designed to try to keep the people thinking about their need for the promised Savior. Those laws, they were to show them their sin, their need for a Savior. And even though God was so patient and so gracious with the people all the time, our text says he was like a husband to them, they broke that covenant by their idolatry and their rebellion against God, with their wickedness against God. But now what God didn't want those people to do is he didn't want the Jews to think that, well, because they broke their end of the covenant, that God was going to abandon the covenant and not do what he said he would do. He didn't want the people to think that God wouldn't keep his end of the covenant in which he promised to send the Savior, so the Lord here speaks of a new covenant, which actually wasn't a new covenant when you get kind of right down to it. It's the same promise that God made to Adam and Eve back in the Garden of Eden after they fell into sin. But this covenant, it didn't emphasize the ceremonial laws and the rules and regulations that were part of the Sinaitic covenant. This covenant emphasizes the complete forgiveness of sins that we have in Jesus. God says, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. The law that he's talking about here, that he would write in their hearts and on their minds, that's God's holy will, which refers to both law and gospel. When the Holy Spirit, when he calls us to faith, he puts God's will, and especially his gospel, in our hearts. In faith, then, we can know our loving Lord and Savior. We can know we're part of our Heavenly Father's believing family. The tool that the Holy Spirit uses to work faith in our hearts, of course, that's God's Word. Back in Luther's day, the Bible wasn't an easily accessible book. There were few books back then. And, well, the printing press, it was invented in Europe back in the 1430s. Luther, well, his 95 Theses, that was 1517, and following that, that's the time of the Reformation. But in Luther's early years, the books that existed, they were rare and they were very expensive, and they weren't in general circulation. The Bible wasn't even translated into the language of the common people yet. But in the Reformation, what God did is God used Luther to translate the Bible, and the use of the printing press became very common, so more and more people could read the Bible and hear about the Savior and God's love. Now, we're so blessed in that regard today. The Bible is readily available to us. It's not a hidden treasure, although it kind of is hidden from some people because they don't look at it. But it's not really a hidden treasure like it was back then. Most families have at least one or more Bibles in their home, and what I always will say is, if you don't have one or you don't readily have one available, let me know and I'll get one to you. You can have the Bible on your computer, on your cell phone. It's easily accessible. And since in the Bibles, what we can do is we can read about our Savior and about God's love, let's dig into those Bibles, dig into our cell phone, our computer, dig into that book like Luther did, so that the Holy Spirit can work to build up and strengthen our faith. Let's use our Bibles not as decorations on the bookshelf or as dust catchers, but as the faith-strengthening tools of the Holy Spirit. Because God has given us his word, every heart and mind can know the Lord and know of his grace and mercy and love. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us your holy precious word so that every heart and mind can know the Lord, our Savior. In his name we pray. Amen. In the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you always.